We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 1 and working through verse 3 to verse 10. Those of you who know me fairly well know that I've got a Welsh mother, I've got an English father, and I was born in southern Africa. So when it comes to rugby, I've got three nations sort of vying for my praise, and three wingers in particular vying for my praise, and this is one of them. Jason Robinson, sadly retired, but wonderful. Brian Habana, why not? He's brilliant. And Shane Williams. And you've got to picture the scene. Those of you who are rugby lovers, I'm sure will appreciate this. I'm sitting watching rugby. I'm somewhere between the settee, kneeling on the floor, arms in the air. Shane Williams gets the ball. He's steaming it. He skins a few people. And he scores a try. Generally what happens is, I don't sit and go, yeah, it's Leander. I shout something out, like, Williams is a legend! Or, he could sidestep his own shadow! Or, he's just skinned 10 players! I heap praise on him for the tries that he scores and the work he does. And as we look at Ephesians 1, we're going to read about some more praise, but not praise for Brian Habana. Not praise for Jason Robinson, not even praise for Shane Williams, praise for God. And this is what Paul says, see if you can trap this all in your head now. He says, God should be praised because in his plan, he has massively blessed Christians. And he's done it through Jesus Christ. Whoa, I'll try that again. God should be praised because in his plan, he has massively blessed Christians, and he's done it through Christ. You might be wondering why I'm preaching on Ephesians 1 when we're so close to Christmas. Why not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? In this passage, Jesus is key, and I hope as we go through it, you'll see how vital his role is in it. And we'll pick up more of that later. We're going to take three sweeps through the passage to see the three people, three main groups involved. God, and we're going to spend about that long on God. We're going to look at Jesus, and we're going to spend a little bit less time on Jesus. And then we'll look at Christians and spend even less time on them. So those are our three groups we're going to spend time looking at this evening. Let's start with God. Have a look at verse 3 with me. Paul says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's like a summary of what God has done for Christians. It's pretty big. He says he's blessed us Christians with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. God is the one who does everything. God blesses the Christian with every spiritual blessing. That's why Paul says, praise God. If you're like me, you want a bit more clarity there. What are these blessings Paul's talking about? Well, we get to have a look at those from verse 4 onwards. So let's have a look at them. Paul says the blessings are past blessings. They're present blessings and they're future blessings. So let's take those three categories and we'll spend our time there now. Look at verse 4. What has God done in the past? It says this, for he, that's God, chose us in him when, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. It says God has chosen Christians. Do you see how incredible that is? If you're a Christian, that's you, me, every Christian, we're chosen by God even before he made the world. So if you're a Christian, it's not an accident that you're a Christian. God chose to love you before you started walking on the earth. And Paul wants this to be a positive thing. That's why he's mentioning it. That's why it's something God should be praised for. It's a positive thing. Well, why? Why is that positive? Well, do you see how secure it makes a Christian in their faith? If you are chosen, then it's not up to you. It's not because of how great we are. It's not because of the great faith that we have. It's simply because God has chosen us. It's something God has done for the Christian. So if you feel like you're useless, you're a useless Christian, remember that God has chosen you. He wants you. If you think you're the worst Christian that ever walked the earth, remember, you are chosen by the one who made you. You're secure. You're held by God. That should be reassuring and something we should say thank you, God, for. Well, that's the past spiritual blessing that's mentioned here. What about the present spiritual blessings? The thing we know, things we know now. We'll have a look at verse 5. Paul goes on to say, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Key word there, we are adopted. We're adopted by God. So if you're a Christian, you are right now, 2009, December 13, I should remember that, it's Rachel's birthday, you are God's child. You really are. That's incredible. Again, mere human being can call God father or dad or daddy, however, whatever you call your father. If you're a Christian, that also means you're part of a huge family, one that stretches from here to South Africa to India to South America to North America, all over the globe. You're part of this huge family. And it means God looks at you as if you're his child. Imagine for those who have children, that probably is more real than for someone like myself who doesn't yet have children. And I guess that means also that God treats us as his children. That means that he listens to Christians. He listens to his children. He provides for his children. He disciplines his children. He loves his children. Are you a Christian who thinks that you are abandoned by God? Or can I encourage you that you're not? You're his child. Maybe you've not talked to God in ages. You're cold towards God, where once you were on fire. Well, this reminds us, you're his child. Turn back to your father. He'll listen to you. He loves you. But there's something else which God has done for us right now that the passage talks about. Verse 7 tells us, it says, look with me there, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Right now, 2009, December 13th, we are redeemed. We are redeemed. Now that's not a word people use too often outside of church. I'm sure it is used on the football field. He's redeemed himself. But other than that, it's not used too much. Well, we have to remember when Paul's writing. He's writing about 2,000 years ago, when people had slaves. So come with me back a few thousand years and imagine that I am Fred and Viv's slave. Imagine that. They own me, like I'm a possession. I work for them, they're my masters. I sort of fear them, as most of us do, I'm sure, Fred. I'm a slave to them. But Fred, being a generous master, gives me time, gives me 50p a week. And I imagine if I save all that money up and hoard it bit by bit, and one day I earn enough money to buy myself freedom. So I'm no longer Fred and Viv's slave. I give them the money and say, there we are, you have the money, I go free. I would be redeeming myself. So redemption is when a price is paid to set someone free. Or I suppose to be bought by another master. So look again at verse 7. If we're talking about a price being paid, we would expect here to read about a price being paid. Verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." We have redemption, we are redeemed through Jesus' blood. So God bought us at the price of Jesus' death. We were slaves to sin, the Bible says elsewhere. But God paid the price to free us from that slavery to sin. And that price was Jesus' death on the cross. If you're a Christian here, then you are redeemed. You're God's. You're bought by God through Jesus' blood. You no longer belong to sin. You belong to God. Well, again, do you sometimes feel like you're worth nothing? You're not. You're worth something. You're worth a lot. You're worth the death of Jesus Christ, the death of God's Son. You're precious to God. But the passage isn't finished yet. Those are the past and the present blessings. There's future ones. Have a look at verses 9 and 10. They say this, "And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." It says God's let us know his plan for the future. And he says the plan is that everything is going to be united under Christ. The plan for the future, all things will be brought together, and Christ will be king over that. The Bible is clear elsewhere that this world is not going to keep going on like it is now. Right now on earth, people, they don't worship God properly. People do what they want. Right now on earth, people get sick and people die. But the Bible tells us that one day Jesus will come again, like the way he went. You can read about that in Acts. He will return, and when he does, all things will be brought together and put under him. He will be king. So our future blessing is to know this, to give us a hope for what is to come. That's a lot of blessing. God has done all of this, and Christians are part of it. But I said, God's not the only one who this passage mentions. He also mentions Jesus. So let's look again at the passage and pick up what it says about Jesus. Now I'm going to read through verses 3 to 10 and we'll pick up the mentions of Jesus. So here we are, read with me. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who he has blessed us, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." I'm going to stop there. It goes on. There's mentions of in Christ, in him, through Christ, through him. He's puncturing all the way through this passage. Jesus is there. And it says all of these spiritual blessings, they come through Christ. Most people came into this church through the door. I don't think anyone tried getting through the window. You enter a house through a door, don't you? It's the same idea here. For us to receive these blessings, we have to go through the door, through Christ. He's the only way to these blessings we've talked about. If we took Jesus away, there would be no access to the spiritual blessings. It would be the same as bricking up the doors, no way in. It also means that there's no other way to the spiritual blessings, or for them to come to us. We can't be God's children. We can't be bought by God. We can't look forward to Jesus returning except through Jesus. He's the only way to be spiritually blessed. So now can you see how massive Jesus' role is in the whole of God's plan? Get rid of Jesus and this passage falls flat. So he is the way to becoming one of God's children, to being forgiven, being redeemed. So if you're a Christian here this evening, a question, are you trusting that these blessings that can be enjoyed are only yours through Christ? I think it's really easy to start with Christ and move to something else. Your good works. Maybe a knowledge of the Bible, a knowledge of theology. My great knowledge will get me through to Christ, or to blessings. If you are trusting something other than Jesus, then that's shaky ground. And this passage reminds us there is one way, and it's through Jesus. If you're not a Christian here tonight, then this is important news for you. You can only know these blessings through Christ. I want to talk more about that later. Before I do, we need to see the last group. And the last group here is Christians. As the passage was read, and maybe as you've been flicking through now, you notice the word us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. It goes on, us is in there a lot. Well, the us is referring to Christians. But there's only really one thing to say about Christians in this passage. They don't really do anything. They're just there. All the blessings that come through Christ are done to the Christians. They don't do anything to earn them. They just receive them. Again, that's incredible. That's the third time we've had the word incredible. God blesses Christians with every spiritual blessing, and they don't deserve them. They don't earn them. They don't do anything for them. It's like this. Imagine this. Where Rachel and I live, in Musenberg, I think if you're an Afrikaner, you'd call it Nasenbrach, something like that. There's a street called Church Street. And as with a nice name like Church Street, it's the worst road in Musenberg. And on the road live all sorts, and amongst them are street children. Now imagine one day, a street boy is sitting there doing whatever he's doing, and a man walks up to him and says, "My boss wants to adopt you." The boy rightly just says, "Oh, all right then, I'll have a bit of that." He gets in the car, and he's driven to a huge house in a very nice area called Constantia. He's washed. He's given new clothes, and he's shown to this room, and as he opens the curtains, he sees there's a swimming pool, there's a tennis court, there's a rugby pitch, a football pitch, and it stretches off into the distance. As the boy dresses, there's a knock on the door. He says, "Wait a minute," he finishes dressing, opens the door, and the man's waiting there and saying, "Here's a piece of paper. If you sign this, you will be officially, legally, the son of the man who owns this." Well, the boy rightly signs it. And he's the son of a millionaire. All these things he sees, they're his. What's he done to deserve it? Nothing. It's the same. We are like the street children if we're Christians here. We're chosen, nothing to do with us. We're adopted, nothing to do with us. We're redeemed by God. We're passive in the whole thing. It's no wonder then that Paul starts this in verse 3, by saying, "Praise be to God." He should be praised. He really should be praised. In his plan for everything, he's included Christians. He's blessed Christians hugely, and he's done it through Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian here tonight? Well, praise God for the blessings that you enjoy as a Christian. We've been singing tonight. We'll probably sing next week at church, God willing, and at some point during the week as well. When we do that, when we pray, when we talk after services and wherever else over coffee, we should spend time remembering these blessings. These blessings that we know now, and these blessings we look forward to in the future. Why not spend some time thinking about what it means that God chose you, adopted you, redeemed you, and let you know that Christ will come back one day? When I've finished, before the song, I want us to spend some time being quiet and remembering these blessings, specifically, to think on them and to praise God, just quietly, in your own heart, that you are redeemed, you are adopted, you have the hope of heaven. And what about tomorrow, and then Tuesday and Wednesday and so on? How can you help yourself remember these things? Well, this passage isn't huge, is it? Why not commit this week, say, I'm going to read it every day, maybe in the morning if you're a morning person, lunchtime if you've got time, maybe in the evening, but read it through each day. And I'm sure that new things will hit you and will remind you of the things you enjoy, the spiritual blessings you enjoy as a Christian. Some of you, not me sadly, may be even skilled enough to write a song. There's a challenge there. Or a poem, something like that. If you're skilled with words, go for it. Why not write a poem of praise to God for these blessings? I think we should do something this week to remind ourselves of the things that we look forward to, the things that we enjoy as Christians because of God and because of Jesus. But what if you're here and you're not a Christian? What if you're not trusting in Jesus' death? You're not going through that doorway? Well, the offer's open to anyone. You too can be adopted as God's child. You can call God Father and it be completely accurate. You can be redeemed. You can be forgiven. You can have hope beyond this life. But remember, there's that one way, and it is through Jesus Christ. Remember, I said we get these blessings through Jesus as if we walk through a door. And that probably needs some explanation. What does it mean to go through Jesus? Well, it means to have faith in Jesus, to trust him. It means to admit that we don't naturally love God as we should love God. We don't praise God as we should praise God. In fact, we do the opposite. We turn away from him. There's a barrier between us and God. It's called sin in the Bible. Well, if you believe and you trust that Jesus Christ broke down that barrier, as John used this morning, the two buckets carried you to a perfect state, carries you to a place you can't get to on your own, to God. Well, then you have walked through the door. You have become a Christian. It's about trust, about faith. And these blessings are yours. You become adopted. You become redeemed, forgiven. If you know you haven't done that, then speak to someone who's a Christian that you know. To hear, you could speak to Tim, you could speak to myself, John, someone you know and trust, and ask them more about becoming a Christian, becoming an adopted child of God. Well, we've looked at Ephesians 1 verses 3 to 10, and they tell us God has a plan. They tell us that that plan involves blessings for Christians. And it tells us that the only way through that is Christ. I want us to spend that time now, just a minute, quietly, if you're a Christian, praising God, thinking over those blessings and praising him for them. If you're not a Christian, maybe read over that passage in this minute now. Let's do that now, and I'll close with a prayer. Lord God, we are eternally thankful for what you have done for us. We praise you that you have chosen to love us. We praise you that we can call you Father. We praise you we have been freed from sin. We praise you that we can look forward to heaven. And Lord, we accept humbly, gratefully, these things you've given us. And we acknowledge, Lord, that it is nothing to do with us. We just trust that you have done these things. Lord, help us. Help us this week to live lives which do praise you, which remember these things you've done for us. Help us to do that, to be grateful, to be worshipful people, worshipful children of the living God. We ask these things so that your name might spread across Britain, across this world, and that people might see that we are people of praise and might worship you too. Amen.